So what we're going to be doing here is I'm going to be talking to you, like I said this morning, we're going to be talking about that things change. And we already had a great example of that. You know, Molly was up here and talking about a change in her life. Matter of fact, she's had a change in her career here, right? She's sitting back there, smile on her. You can't see it. Her ears are holding in the smile right now. But change takes place, and there's a lot of changes taking place. Some of you had to change your clothes this morning already. Some are in the hearth room where the fireplace is going and getting warm. I can't remember whose the shoes were really close to the thing, but they started to smoke, so I pulled them back. There's no smoking here at Fort. So anyway, what we're going to be doing this morning and just for the next half hour, we're going to talk about some fascinating things. But I have to tell you, to be honest, I feel really sorry. I'm going to be talking to the kids here for just a second. Children, this is for you. I feel so sorry for you. I really do. I feel so sorry for the kids because I had an enlightenment a few weeks ago where I discovered something that has changed, and it really impacted me. I got righteously indignant. That's another way of saying angry. But you see, you guys have missed out on something you don't even realize. Now, those who are adults will remember Saturday mornings when we were a kid. Saturday mornings was the greatest time in the week. Every week of the year, all 52, Saturday morning is what we live for. Adults my age, correct? I mean, my gosh, we had the most awesome thing, and you look forward to it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then there it was, Saturday morning. And why did we love it so much? Because we would have the most awesome cartoons in the morning. Oh my gosh, they were fantastic cartoons. And, you know, we would sit there, we would go into the kitchen, we'd get a bowl of, like, Captain Crunch or Cocoa Puffs, Fruity Pebbles, Quisp, remember that one? Get the bowl of the cereal, sit down right in front of the television and eating this vitamin-fortified, super-sugarated cereal, thinking it's a health food. And we would sit and watch Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny for 2 hours. And then when it was over, Scooby-Doo came on, and then Johnny Quest. And, oh, my gosh, do you remember those days? Oh, kids, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. The other day, I turned on Saturday morning, and I turned on the television thinking, oh, I'm going to watch cartoons. And it didn't happen. You know what came on? It was Good Morning America, weekend edition. And so I changed the channel to NBC, and I got the Today Show weekend station. And I found out CBS has one. And then as I sat there, really getting angry, kept searching the channels, I found, you know, finally this Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown came on, and then there was the Dog Whisperer, and then there was, you know, Ocean Treks, at least it's ocean stuff, I'm interested in that. But I was like, where's the cartoons? You guys have missed out on an important part of life. Things have changed. And in this case, I don't think it changed for the better. I mean, Tom and Jerry, Roadrunner and the Coyote, I mean, come on, those were things we look forward to all of our life. I mean, the whole year, every Saturday, we knew we could depend on that. What happened? We've lost an entire generation. But that's not the only thing that has changed. There's been a lot of other changes that take place throughout time. For instance, if we, I don't know why I'm not doing anything here, but this thing is not working. I'm clicking and clicking and clicking and nothing's happening. There we go. Might have to get some help. Now, those, if they're recording this and everybody in the background, if you're listening on the internet, you hear laughter. That's not at me. That's at the image I'm showing because I got a picture of Priscilla Presley here from about 1970, and right next to it is a picture of, he disappeared. Yeah, we'd start to talk about people and they just run off. That was Sean Cassidy. Now, look at the hairstyles. I mean, to be honest, I'm a little jealous of this today. Now they're laughing at me. But look at the hairdo on that. Is that not an amazing hairdo? Wow. Or look how the guys, man, we looked like we were so cool. You know, with the long hair hanging down. I guess I'm safe to say this because hardly any pictures exist of me as a teenager, but my hair was longer than that. And I actually had hair back then. But that's not the only thing that changed. You know, some other things that changed? I'm still having problems with this thing. Switch to the next slide, please. And, oh, we're going to pause for a commercial break again, I guess, huh? Can we get, well, that's what the hairstyles look like today. See the difference, how things have changed? Or look at the next one. Let's go to the next slide. And there must be a very slow electrical impulse here. But the next one I wanted to show you, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but the next slide I was going to show you was talking about fashion. And fashions have changed. Now, like, for instance, this, folks. Now, kids, this is what mom and dad looked like back when they were teenagers that made them look cool. This is what they looked like. And I'm not going to ask how many of you still have clothing like that in your closet someplace, saving it, thinking, surely it's going to come back into style. I love those bell bottoms. And the guys with the polyester suit that we wore that matched and, oh, sometimes had like white thread through the thing along the borders to make it look really cool. This is how we look cool. Now, today, it's a little different. We can go to the next slide. Today, it looks a little different because we buy clothes today that look very different. Boy, we're really having problems today, aren't we, with this? God's not going to stop. Not going to let this happen, though. I mean, we're going to keep going. Look at how the people dress today. Can you imagine this? I remember when I was in fifth grade, and it was a Sunday after church service in the evening, and I was running through the parking lot, which I was not supposed to do, because my mom had just bought me a brand new pair of pants, and I went running through the parking lot. It was gravel, and I fell down, and I ripped the knees out of both my pants, and I got spanked for it. Had I known that if I saved those, I could have sold those for like $90 today, because it looks cool. We're spending $80, $90 for a pair of jeans that have holes in it that look like some five-year-old did it. And now we call that cool fashion. Things are changing, and they're changing in strange ways. There are some fascinating things that change. Now, people change too. All right, here we go. This is our marine biology program that we do here at Fort Wilderness. And actually, I started this back in 1987. So 30 years ago, I started this. And if you look at that picture there, one of those two guys is me. Yeah, the one on the left, right? Yeah, the one that looks like a beach bum, the one that looks like he went down to the Florida Keys and just lives on the beach the rest of his life. Yeah, that's me. See, I look a little different today. This is the trip a couple of years ago. I bet you can't even pick me out in here. Pirate. Yeah, I'm the pirate in the middle, exactly. Now you know what I do when I go on these marine biology trips. I go down to the Florida Keys and I go pirating. It's in the blood, folks. It's in the blood. So things change. And another thing that's changing today, how about the colors? The colors of trees. This is actually a photograph in the summertime of Fort Wilderness. That's our Spider Lake right out there. And that's what it looks like in the summer. Very green. But now, this is a picture. This is not this year, but this was a couple of years ago. Here's another picture of Fort Wilderness. The same landscape, same trees, but now you see, color. I even heard some people go, color, yeah. People travel thousands of miles to come up here into the North Woods so that they can experience this. I remember when I lived in the Bahamas, people would travel 1,000 miles in the fall. They would fly up to like Toronto or something just to see the color of the leaves change. Because in the Bahamas, it didn't do that. We didn't get color changes like this. And so everything was green all year long. And people would do that. They would spend a lot of money coming up and doing this type of thing. So changes is something. But have you ever really wondered, why do leaves change? Why does God have that happen? See, this isn't an accident. God plans things. God plans everything. He allows certain things to happen. He is sovereign, which means he can do anything he wants. And he plans things out. We sometimes can't figure them out because we can only see a little glimpse of the whole world of what's going on. But he can see everything, and he knows everything in the future. He knows the past. He knows all this. But why did he make leaves change? How does this happen? Well, I am so glad you asked this question because I'm going to explain this to you today. Why do leaves change? Now, you're wondering why I've got some colors and stuff up here. It's to help me explain this because a lot of people are really puzzled as to why do leaves change. And I've heard all sorts of really bizarre things. I mean, you want to talk about dramatic change? This is dramatic change. The colors of leaves, that's a dramatic change. And the way it happens is God has designed, when he was creating the world, he came up with this amazing process that we call photosynthesis. Now, don't let the big words scare you. That's what we scientists like to do. We use big words like that to impress people to think that they're, let them believe that we're smart, because we can use big words like this. Photosynthesis is simply light making something, is what it really means. Photo, light, synthesis, the production, the making of, a process of, there we go. So there, that's the whole thing. But photosynthesis, this is so cool what God designed. And it's an amazing design. You have plants, and the plants, of course, water. That's what God was doing this morning. He was watering the plants. I know, to us, you're thinking, boy, that wasn't, why couldn't you do that at 3 o'clock in the morning, God, when I was asleep? But no, he's got his plant, and he has a reason for everything. Now, the water comes down into the soil, and the plants, with their roots, they absorb this water. At the same time this is going on, the plants are also absorbing the breath that we are exhaling, our exhaled breath. It's got a chemical called carbon dioxide, CO2. Ooh. So, by the way, folks, when you're sitting there, husbands, kids, moms, whatever, someone in your house says, and you're just sitting there, and you're just sitting on a chair. Maybe you're in the living room, maybe you're in the bedroom, maybe you're going to be in another room in the house, whatever. And you're just sitting there. And someone comes up to you. Why aren't you doing anything? I am. I am doing something. Yeah, what are you doing? I'm helping plants photosynthesize because I'm exhaling. See? It appears like you're doing nothing, but we are doing something very helpful to these plants. And science has actually shown that if you talk to plants, they actually do better. Probably because you're breathing on top of the plant. And the plant absorbs. They take in this carbon dioxide, and with sunlight, it hits this green stuff in these leaves. These leaves are amazing factories, and it releases oxygen. Ooh, that's important. That's what we breathe to stay alive. And also, and this is the key thing, it makes food for the plant. Plants make their own food. We call that an autotroph, scientific term for it, but they make their own food. I mean, really, when was the last time you were at McDonald's and had to stand in line behind a houseplant? They don't go to restaurants and eat because they make their own food. They're designed to do this. And so they make their own food, and in doing this, they also give us oxygen. Thank you, plants. You want to go up and kiss a plant today? Go ahead. We got plenty around here. Hug a tree. You know, it's always a wonderful thing to do. If you don't have love feeling like in your life, here, come to Fort. There's always a tree that will love for you to breathe all over it. There's always a tree that will just take you and, oh, yes, wrap your, oh, I love that. You know, they can't talk to you, of course, but they're important. They make food. They make oxygen. They do it with sunlight and this green stuff that's in these leaves. It's called chlorophyll. Now, I have a section of a leaf, and actually, I've got a model here of a cross-section of a leaf also. And could you come up here, hon? Lydia. Look like, you should have seen the face I got. Did you just shoot me or something? I'm poisoned. No, come on up here. I need you to help me here for a second, because I'm going to have you stand right over here, like in this angle right here, okay? Don't go off the edge. No jumping off the edge here, okay? And hold this. It's really heavy. Must weigh at least a half a pound. And your name is?
Lydia.
Oh, you got to say it on this side.
Lydia.
Okay, that way it's recorded. So Lydia, okay, she is holding a leaf. Now, while she holds this leaf, I get to go downstairs and come over here and show you what's going on inside this leaf. Like I say now, a leaf is a factory. It's a thing that makes food. It makes oxygen. And God has designed this thing in the most amazing way. This is evidence that there is a creator. There's no way this happened by accident with all the things that go on. But let me just simply tell you what's happening. There's little holes, and you can see these also up on the top of the screen here, the image I'm showing you. There's a little hole at the bottom of the leaves. Now, Lydia, if you'll turn this way, you see all those little holes? Leaves have a lot of little holes in them. Now, some are on top of the leaf. Most of the time, it's on the bottom. Now, if we turn it back, there you go. Boy, you're doing a great job. I tell you, there's a career option for you right here. Go to college, you can be a model. Model. Okay, anyway, the little holes that you have in the leaf, that's where the carbon dioxide goes in. So you as that goes in there. I hope they didn't make a photograph of that and put it on the screen. But the hole here, it goes in, the carbon dioxide gas goes inside these little air spaces. See where it says airspace? And it goes in there, and that's where it's going to get changed into oxygen. And then the oxygen comes back out the same hole. Carbon dioxide in, oxygen out. Carbon dioxide in, oxygen out. Sort of boring to a plant, but hey, it's important to us. Now, at the same time, there's a waxy covering on leaves up here. Some leaves have it on the bottom too, because there's a lot of water in here. And the way that the water gets in here, there's a vein. You ever notice that there's veins in leaves? This is the vein. The big holes, sort of reddish in color on here and on the screen, those are where the water comes in. The ones that are sort of on the model here, blue, and the ones that are orange on the screen, those are the ones that the sugars, the food that the plant makes, goes out of the leaf. Some stays in the leaf, of course, if it's made in there. But that's how this works. Now, the trick to it all are these little green dots. You notice there's green dots on the monitors? Those little green dots are called chloroplasts. And they're full of these chemicals that God has designed. And the most amazing of this is one we often just call chlorophyll. There's a lot of different types of chlorophyll, a lot of different ones. But they don't call them chlorophyll 1, chlorophyll 2. We call it chlorophyll A, chlorophyll B, chlorophyll C, chlorophyll D. Boy, that was really brilliant, wasn't it? But that's what we do. And plants that you see out here all have chlorophyll A and B. Guess what color that chlorophyll is?
Green.
Green. Wow, you guys are brilliant. So all this green in here is caused by this chlorophyll. And that's what's going on and how this thing is made. The sunlight hits this, zoom. And notice there's a bunch of it up on the top. See, it's not randomly put there. It's all designed. It's sitting on the top is where most of it is, in a thing called the palisade layer. These column-sized cells have a ton of this stuff, and these chemicals are doing all this magic that's taking place that God has designed them to do. That's how this thing works. Thank you, Lydia, for doing it. Give her a hand. Didn't she do a great job? So that's how, basically, this takes place. And the miracle of this whole thing that God has designed is a thing that's called chlorophyll. Now, there's different types of chlorophyll, but the chlorophyll we have here on the land plants is green. That's why our plants look green. But there's also another one in there called carotene. What's the color of a carrot? Orange, right? Some are yellow, or today you can even get white carrots. Those are really boring looking, but you can eat them and stuff. But a carrot is usually orangey in color because of carotene. There's another chemical. There's a bunch of chemicals God has designed these plants to make. It's called anthocyanin. Anthocyanin is usually like an orange or a red or a purple color. Blueberries have a lot of that. Strawberries have a lot of that. Blackberries have a lot of that. That's why they're so dark purple. They have so much. But you get a lot of different types of fruits. You ever notice that sometimes an apple will be green on one side, red on the other? That red color, anthocyanin. That's what it is. And the plant makes this. The way the plant gets the chemicals to make it is from the soil. And it brings it up through these tubes, up to the leaves, and the leaves do all this manufacturing. That's where most of it takes place. Now, the thing is, you have xanthophyll, or carotene, and you have anthocyanin, and you have chlorophyll. The thing is, why can't you see the yellows? How come we don't see yellow all summer long and in the spring? Why don't we see red? How come it's only in the fall we get to see these? Now, what some people actually say is, well, those colors are in there all the time. Actually, that's not 100% correct. Chlorophyll A and B are in there, yes. Carotenes are almost always in there. From the springtime, the tree starts making these and the plants start making it. Anthocyanins are not always there, particularly in the spring and in the early summer. They start coming around more in the fall, but you get the more reddish color. So each one of these colors is like that. So people often ask me, well, if a leaf has, like here I'm holding up an oak leaf, or here I hold up a maple leaf, and if I hold these leaves up and you say, well, I can see the green, well, there's carotene in here too. Oh, yeah? How come I can't see any yellow? Well, there's anthocyanin in here. Oh, yeah? How come I don't see any red or orange? Well, there's a reason for that. Like, for instance, here we have, like, carotene, bright yellow. And if we pour this, I'm just going to show you. If we pour this inside this flask, wow, wasn't that amazing? I went to college to learn how to do that. So we have this color in here. And now what if we pour the anthocyanin in there, which is usually a reddish, orange, purple color. And so we pour that in there. And now we just seem like, wow, you can't really see the yellow that much. But the yellow's in here, right? Didn't you see me put yellow in here? So you know the yellow's in here. But now the thing is, what happens if we put green in here? Green represents chlorophyll, A and B. We put that in here. What color do we have now? Green. But doesn't it have yellow in here too? Isn't there the orange-red color in here too? Yes. How come you don't see it? Because the green is masking it. That's what's going on. That's why you can't, like in the summertime, and many of our trees even right now, you still can't see anything but just green, even though it's got all these other things. Plants make the green color every day, all summer long. And to do this, to make this green stuff, and by the way, here is pure chlorophyll I have in this. And if I pour this into a glass, this is chlorophyll. Here's the chlorophyll taken out of a couple leaves. I did this yesterday. And I'm pouring the chlorophylls out. And now I'm going to hold up. You see the color? What color is that?
Green.
Green. What other color's in there?
Yellow.
And guess what else is in there?
Red.
They're all in there. So what's left over of the leaf? There's the leaf. It just got brown. That's it. There's not much more to it. So that's an easy way to show you how this works. But that is pure chlorophyll, and carotene and anthocyanin are all in there. But you can't see it. See, it's just like this. You can't see the other ones because they're being hidden, but they're there. Now, leaves are green because it takes all this chlorophyll to make them green. And to make chlorophyll, a plant needs a lot of sunlight, a whole lot of sunlight, and warm temperatures. So what's happening now is we're starting to have a problem. But see, in the springtime, most of the summer, the plants are not making anthocyanin. You don't see the red that often. If I was to try and take it out, you wouldn't see a lot of red if I was to get it. There might be a little bit as the summer gets longer. Then you get late into summer, early spring, you start seeing a lot of anthocyanin. But during the spring and the summer, plants are making a lot of carotene. They're making a lot of chlorophyll. When the summer days start to get shorter, like that's happening now, right? The days are getting shorter and the nights are getting cooler. That becomes hard for that plant to make the chlorophyll. See, chlorophyll doesn't last very long. In a few days, this is going to change color just by itself. It's going to break down, and it's not going to. You'll start seeing the yellow color and the orange color then. You don't see the green as much because chlorophyll doesn't last very long. It breaks down really easy, and it needs to make it and to have it, you got to have a lot of warm temperature and a lot of long day light hours, and that's not what's happening right now. So the chlorophylls are starting to fade away. They're actually not fading away. The plant is recycling it. Do you know God is really into recycling? You recycle red blood cells in your body every single day. Plants recycle the chlorophyll that breaks down. They'll use the chemicals, make new chlorophyll. It breaks down, they make new. And they keep doing this. And then right now, at this time of year, they're starting to take those chemicals and store it down as much as they can down into the roots so that next spring, they'll have these chemicals to get going to make it in the spring when the leaves start coming out again. So during the changing process, the plant's trying to recycle the nutrients. And that's important because now, I got some leaves here I'm going to show you. You can see that some plants have, like here's a maple, see the orangey-red color? You can see the anthocyanin and some of the carotene in this. And here's another one, you can see a lot of carotene in this one. And here's another one. What color do you mostly see in this one? Red, so it's the anthocyanin, right. Now, birch trees don't make anthocyanin. So guess what color they turn? You ever wonder why some are yellow? And some are red and orange and yellow. Some trees can't make all these different things, or they make it in very small amounts. Here's another one. This is all carotene, mostly carotene. So we start seeing that. But then as plants start to die, have you ever been walking through the forest and you see the leaves laying on the ground and they're brown? Do you know why? Why are they brown? They died. Yeah. And there's no more chlorophyll in them. And so what happens, the reason they turn brown, to make chlorophyll, chlorophyll has iron in it. The iron stays in the leaf. What happens when you leave iron outside with oxygen and water? Rust, same process. That's why leaves are brown. Isn't it amazing what you're learning today? There's a test at the end. But that's why leaves are brown. So To help with this, some plants make a lot of sugar in these leaves at this time of year. They're making a lot of sugar, and they're trying to get as much out of these leaves as possible. But at the same time, the leaf is getting sealed off with cork at the very end where it's attaching to the branch. So some of the sugar in the leaves gets stuck in there, and they have no place to go. They can't get down to the roots is where the plant's trying to send it. It can't get down to the bottom. They get stuck there. And in some plants that do this, that make a lot of sugars, like a maple leaf, it converts the anthocyanin from sugar. The sun makes them convert the sugar into anthocyanin. That's why you start to see these. At this time of year, you see a lot of reds. And more red on it means the sun's hitting it. As you walk around camp, you will notice on some of our changes, tomorrow's supposed to be a beautiful day, walk around, look at some of the maples, you will see that some of the areas on the maple tree are starting to turn red. Those are areas where the sun is hitting it the most because it's converting the sugar that's stuck inside the leaf into anthocyanin. That's why it's like that. This red color, also scientists have found out, God created an amazing thing. It's a sunscreen to block the damage. Sunlight damages a lot of things, including us. If you get too much sunlight, it can cause all sorts of problems in our bodies too. So we use sunscreen. You don't put sunscreen on these. God created a sunscreen, anthocyanin, in plants. Isn't that amazing? So leaves, they're sealed off, they fall to the ground, they break down, and they get reused. God recycles them. Now, that's how plants are. So that's the change that takes place in plants. Well, Michael, I thought this was a Bible camp, not a biology class. Well, it's both. Because if you're really going to understand about God, look at the handiwork that he did. You ever go to an art museum? You study the artwork of the painter, you can understand the painter a little better. Same thing in nature. That's why I thank God so much that he gave me eyes of a biologist to see the world, because it just shouts the creation of God all around. But people change. Plants change. We talked about at the beginning, a lot of things change. Here's some ways that people change. This is one of my favorite actresses. This is Olivia de Havilland. On the left is a picture of her when she's about 20. On the right is a very frequent picture of her. She's 101. And she's still active, if you did not know that. She's still very, very much doing things. But they change a lot. Or look at these two strange characters. Strange things. You see strange things at Ford. Years ago, you came and you saw these things and thought it was natural. Now you look back and everybody's laughing. Yeah, look at that one. Hey, this is the same thing. It's just changed. I couldn't find one of this one. But yeah, what I'm showing you, if you're listening to this, I got old pictures of Ron and Tom Robertson, and then I have a really current picture of Ron, and you can see changes that are taking place. Ron's not in here right now. So what I would like for you to do today, anytime you go up to Ron, because he has no idea this is happening, go up to Ron and just say, wow, you were a strange-looking person. And just see what he responds. Ron, you are a really strange-looking individual. And I know he's going to be so puzzled. Then you can tell him I was using this picture, but it'll be a lot of fun to get his reaction. He's my best friend, so I can play with him like that. Now, do you know something else about people? People change. Molly talked about a change. People change. When we become Christians, we change. We go through a change. True Christians, what happens is when you become a true Christian, God takes his Holy Spirit, his own essence, and puts inside of you. That's why there's no temple today. We are the temple where God dwells. There's no tabernacle today. We are the tabernacle. The word tabernacle means God, means dwelling with. God is dwelling with us, inside of us. And when he puts his spirit inside of us, I tell you, it changes us. We're not the same. I'll tell you my story real quick. When I was a boy, I had the most foul mouth in the neighborhood. I always was swearing. My parents would, I actually had my mouth washed out with soap many times. Didn't do a good. Didn't do a thing. I kept swearing. I was not a Christian. I was the terror of the neighborhood, to be honest. I know some of you who know me, I can't believe that, Michael. But anyway, I also was a thief. I was very good. I would steal from everybody in my neighborhood. I stole toys. I stole money. I stole things from their gardens, fruit from their trees. I was stealing all the time. Then I found out that I was going to hell And I had no relationship with God. And the God sent his son, because he loves me so much, to die for me. And I became a Christian. I believed and trusted in Jesus to save me. And then God put his Holy Spirit inside of me. And my parents would say, my sisters could too, if they were here, they'd say, my language changed overnight. The next day, I never swore anymore. And stealing, that stopped also. Why? I changed. How did I change? Because God did it. It wasn't me trying to do it. God's Holy Spirit does this. He changes us. He changes us because he puts his Spirit inside of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, this is where he tells us this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. A new person. You've changed. A new person. A metamorphosis, if you will. The old life is gone. That life I had with a foul mouth, that's gone. Because Christ has changed me. It's not what I've done, it's what he has done in me. A new life began when I became a Christian. And it's a gift from God. God does this to true Christians. Or look at this. Now you might be wondering, well, how do you become a true Christian? It's really simple. God explains that so easily in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believe. Notice it says when you believe, not when you put money in the offering plate, not by going to Sunday school, not by reading your Bible, not by just being the best neighbor in the neighborhood. That doesn't save you. Even just knowledge of God, reading the Bible and believing that Jesus is a real person and stuff, that's not the same thing. That's not that word believe. But the thing is, we are saved by grace when we believe. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for doing good things that we have done. So nobody can boast about all their good deeds because that doesn't matter to anything. We are saved by grace when we believe. Now, that word believe is an interesting word. It's a root word going back to the original Greek called pisteu. In this sentence, it is pistis, the same word, different phrase of it. But it means to commit to and to trust in. That's what it means. How do you become a Christian? Commit and trust. That's what pistis means. Do you understand? And this is really important now. I'm just about done, but let me hit you with this really important. Having knowledge that Jesus lived, knowing that Jesus died for all mankind, knowing that Jesus was crucified by the Romans, knowing that Jesus was put into the grave and buried, knowing that Jesus rose again, that does not make you a Christian. In James chapter 2, James tells us, even the demons believe that. They have head knowledge. Pistis is not head knowledge. It's a commitment and a trust in. The demons don't have that. That's the difference. Having head knowledge does not save you. That's what James chapter 2, 14 through 26 is about. Are you committed to? Have you put your trust in? As Jesus himself said, to trust the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, your heart, your emotions, your soul, your whole self, the most precious thing about you, your mind, your thoughts. Is that given to God? Your strength, that means everything that you do, all your actions, your behaviors, is that committed to Christ? Because that's what God is saying, I want. I really do fear that there's people sitting in this room or listening to this on the internet that are thinking, wow, I know Jesus did all those things. That must mean I'm a Christian. No. It's the commitment and the trust in that word pistis, the root word pisteu. That's what it means. I think there's a lot of people, as Jesus even said in a parable, he said there's going to be a lot of people when they come to the judgment. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I preached in your name. I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I did this in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. It's the most sad passage in the Bible. Do you have pisteu type of belief? Father, we thank you so much for this day we have and for the health you've given us this day. And I just pray right now that if somebody is sitting here who has had head knowledge but has never actually committed and trusted in you to save them, that that would change right now. That, Lord, it's not reciting certain words in a prayer. It's what's taking place in our hearts. Do we really trust Jesus to save us? Do we really believe he is our Lord? Do we really commit our lives to him? Because that's what you say all through the book of John. You use this word over and over for us to believe. And I pray that we do that. And I pray that some people, even in this room, if they haven't, will do that right now and just say, Lord, I've had the head knowledge. I want the pishteyu. I want to have the commitment and the trust in you. Save me, O God, because I'm a sinner. And we know from a promise that you made, you would put your Holy Spirit in them and they would change. We thank you for what you offer us, this free gift. And I thank you for the change that you do in us. Keep us safe throughout this day. May your Spirit continue to work on our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.